We are going to have a little bit of a turn of events this morning. I need to start out by apologizing to you, for most of you came to hear a sermon, and I don't have a sermon for you this morning. Last week, I started a series on a sermon titled Growing Pains, and I intend to try to continue that next week. This morning, I have an announcement for you. Some announcements. First of all, I need to tell you that Vicky still hasn't produced any baby yet. We're still anxiously waiting. She's home resting right now. But it seems that June the 8th, which is today's date, is a time of momentous occasions in my life. Vicky and I were married 18 years ago today, in 1968. And I have to tell you, I mentioned to her that what I have to tell you this morning makes me so nervous I can't remember being nervous as this since I was married. So I guess it was proper that I give this announcement on our anniversary. Our fourth child is due today. I don't know if it's going to come today. It could very easily. It's right at the door. So that may be something else that happens on this season. Also, we all remember that 2 days ago, June the 6th, marked 1 year since we lost Pastor Emery, who was the founder of this church, the man whom I was blessed to work under. And so this is a date to remember. Now, on this date, after having been the assistant pastor under Sheldon for 4 years and pastor of this church for 1 year, I have some sad news for you. An unfortunate condition has come up, making it impossible for me to continue here as your pastor. Now, some of you have detected that there was something wrong in the last some weeks and months. Some of you have perhaps a pretty good idea of what's been happening behind the scenes, mostly kept as quiet as possible. For about 5 months now, a controversy has been brewing between me and the church board, and especially between Elaine and myself. Now, the church board, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is comprised of Elaine, who's the chairman, her daughter Martha, who's the secretary treasurer, her son Brian, Les Lindvig, and myself. Now, the problem that's cropped up is partly evident in, as you see, who's on the board. It's fairly unbalanced board. And I knew there was a potential problem when I took the position of pastor, but at the time I really didn't have any choice. Being a loyal follower and friend of Pastor Emery, and at that time felt a great obligation to carry on the best that I could. Nonetheless, we have a problem now. In spite of the fact that the potential for problem was there, the church not only survived in 1985 under my leadership, but it did surprisingly well. It made a substantial profit. But early in 1986, the confrontation which I was worried about that might eventually take place, which I had hoped that wouldn't take place, did begin to appear. It started rather small and inconspicuous, but over the past 5 months, it's grown to the point that something now has to be done. And it's for this reason that I've agreed to leave. I don't want to burden you with all the petty details, but as my flock and as members of this church, I know that you deserve to know at least something about why I'm leaving. And as your pastor, I'm required to tell you, because if there was any way to spare you the embarrassment and the distastefulness of this moment, believe me, I would. But if I were to leave you without some kind of explanation, then you'd think that I was a traitor or irresponsible or uncaring. And let me assure you, each one of you, that that's not the case. My family and I do care for you a great deal, and the friendships that we've built with each of you here will certainly not be forgotten. We've truly been blessed by your love and support, and fully expect to keep in touch with you wherever we end up. Now, you're undoubtedly wondering what it is that's forcing me to leave. I'll say it as short and as simple as I can. During the last 5 months, it's become apparent that Elaine has considered that I'm incapable of pastoring the church and that the church is actually failing under my leadership. She's convinced that I must be prevented from running the operation, and the board refuses to uphold me as the pastor in the opposition. That puts me in a position that's rather difficult. Now, my position in all this has been consistent, and this is the issue around which this whole thing revolves, and that is that if I'm to be pastor of a church, I must be able to run the affairs of the church as God directs me and not be undermined and cut down by Elaine and the board members. And it's that issue that has come between me and Elaine, unfortunately, in such a dramatic way. And it's caused the situation to become absolutely impossible for both of us, for her and myself. It's hurting both of us, and something has to be done to stop that. And so I've been forced, in my mind, in my thinking, to make a decision between accepting an unscriptural situation or to leave. As I see it, the only options that were available to me was, number one, to stay and be a puppet. Number two, stay and fight Elaine and try to force her out. Or three, pack my bags and go somewhere else and start all over. The answer to the first option is I can't be a puppet pastor for anybody. Also, a scripture that I need to quote to you from the book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. And let me say at this point, I do not wish to hurt or to cause anybody to hate anybody. I'm the only reason I'm telling you any of these details, which is not all the details, but just some of the details, is because you have to know why I'm leaving. I don't want to leave with any ill feelings. It's just that I don't want to leave you wondering what in the world I'm doing. I don't want you to think that I'm abandoning you. 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. This explains part of why I'm constrained to do what I'm doing. It says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." The answer to the second option is that I cannot push the widow of Pastor Emery out and then try to continue this ministry. That would not only be folly, but it would be unscriptural. It would be morally wrong. And I have said, maintained all along, that I would not do that. And the answer to the third is that that's the only thing left to do. And I have talked with the board and with Elaine, and it is the consensus that that is the best thing for me to do. And God willing, we'll start a work somewhere else. And we, as I said, we definitely intend to keep in contact with you, and I don't want you to think that I am abandoning you. Now, there's one more thing that I need to mention, something that I'm a little bit displeased about. There have been some rumors started, some things said about me, suggesting that I want to get my hands on the Emery's money and to kick them out. Now, before that's brought to your attention, I want you to know that that's a bald-faced lie. And I'm pretty sure of where it originated, and I can tell you that the board member or members or whoever said it and started it won't dare say it to my face, because it's an absolute lie. Knowing that after I leave, things may be said, I want to clear that, first of all, that it was never, ever my intention to take anything from anybody. Never. My proposals were that never a penny was to be taken and put in my account or anything that has to do with me. I can prove that. The proposals that I have made in the past are still in my possession for anybody who wants to see them. Plus, I think most of you who know me know that I would have never done anything like that. The proposals I submitted are still, as I said, in my possession and for proof if need be. Now, as of today, I'm resigning from the church board, effective immediately. and I'm dating my resignation from the pastor of the Lord's Covenant Church effective immediately after camp, July 18th, 1986. That'll give the church a chance to get a replacement, and I have an obligation that I can't shirk to continue and to see the church camp through. And so I don't want it said that I abandon that. Also, Vicki and I can't move from our house, which is owned by the church, until after her six-week checkup after the baby comes. Again, I'm extremely, extremely sorry that this has happened. For what it's worth, you can be sure that I've tried everything that I can to prevent it, but I can only do so much, and I can only assume then that it was God's will. Let me close with some scripture so you can see where, as a pastor, I am coming from and why the situation was so difficult for me. Most of you will remember my series of sermons on the subject of authority, and that any person or organization that is not under God's authority is asking for trouble. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, says this concerning pastors. He says, "Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The pastor is the one who is in contact with the people. He's the one that must work and study the Word of God and to teach, and he's answerable to God if he fails. The pastor is the one who will be prosecuted in court if legal problems arise. He's the one who stands on the firing line and takes any and all abuse from the enemies. He's the one who puts his life on the line to protect the church. He's the one who puts his future and his family's future on the line publicly. Now the question that this church and this board will have to answer, is it right for a pastor to take on those church responsibilities without also having the rightful authority to direct his church? That's not what Pastor Emery would have wanted. In fact, Sheldon told me on several occasions that a pastor must have control of his church. Now I recognize that too much water has gone under the bridge for me here. I realize that my bridges have been burnt. But I urge this board and this church, for the sake of the people, to resolve this problem. Otherwise, no man will be able to pastor this church, and it will die, and that would be a shame. And I thank you for your attention. So would you stand with me, and we'll close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, our Savior, you have brought convictions upon my heart to draw me into saying the things that I have just said. Lord, I pray that they will not be used or thought of differently than I have intended them to be. I pray for the future of your work here. I pray that it might continue. I pray that whatever problems, some that may have come from me and others that may have come from other sources, can be overcome, can be put in the past, and that something can continue here under this work that you have raised up under Pastor Emery. I know that I am not totally faultless in what's happened. I have asked for forgiveness from you for whatever I may have done. Some of the things I know I've done, some things I may not have known I've done. I know that the people here are concerned. I pray that you would just comfort them and give them strength to continue. And Lord, I pray that what I may do may not be a shame unto you, and that I might not be guilty of bringing shame on your name. In Jesus' name, amen.